JM and the AM on a Wednesday morning. I've been telling you that Rabbi Usher Resnick's book, as far as I'm concerned, is a game changer, a life changer. I found it to be fascinating. I am one who appreciates good works, both written and audio, when it comes to Emunah and Bitachon, when it comes to faith and trust in the One Above. And this one is right up there with some of the absolute best material available, and I want to highly recommend it. It is a Mosaica Press release. It's distributed by Feldheim. I'll give you the website where it's available as well. It's called Pain is a Reality, Suffering is a Choice, Grappling with Divine Justice, written by Rabbi Usher Resnick. In response to the devastating news of his two-year-old daughter's leukemia, her years of illness, and her subsequent passing at the age of 14, Rabbi Usher Resnick has devoted decades of study to comprehend and share the Jewish perspective on grappling with divine justice. Rabbi Usher Resnick, an honor to welcome you to JM in the AM. Rabbi, are you there?
I'm here, yeah.
A pleasure and an honor to welcome you to JM in the AM.
Thank you so much.
The name of the book, Pain is a Reality and Suffering is Pain is a Reality, Suffering is a Choice. Pain is a reality. Does that pain ever go away? Based on the introduction, obviously what happened to your family happened years ago. How would you describe the pain now as opposed to how acute it must have been years ago?
Yeah. So someone during the Shiva compared losing a child to an amputation, which I think is a very appropriate metaphor. You can live a good quality life without a limb, but you never feel the limb is there. In other words, you get to the point, there's no such thing as time takes everything, makes everything better. You get used to the point of the fact this is a reality in your life, and it's a missing piece. But you deal with it and you move forward, just like Jews have dealt with challenges all throughout their history.
Not to be disrespectful, but I'm sure everyone wants me to ask this question. Were you able to have that type of attitude and approach as all this was going on, as your daughter's illness was progressing, and then eventually after her passing? Is this only an attitude that you could speak about years later, or were you able to have the strength to have that type of approach even back then?
I'll tell you something really interesting. It's something that I experienced, and there was another person, another colleague of mine, in Yeshiva Torah, who experienced the same thing, who was also going through a very difficult situation. We found that when we got good news from the doctors, then God became a little bit less central to our life. When we got more challenging news, God became very central to our life. And I found that the more challenging the news was, the more Hashem became central to everything I was doing, everything I was thinking about. And the truth is, since the Petira, then it doesn't, there's nothing changes because the reality is the reality.
Right.
But it's something which I can tell you, there hasn't been a single day over the last almost 20 years. I haven't thought about my daughter multiple times, and it's something which has changed my life in a very dramatic way, in a way that in many ways painful, but in many ways enlightening and elevating.
Could one say in a positive way, or you would stick with the adjectives you just used?
Well, look, you know, a religious Jew recognizes Donis Latova.
Right.
So, of course, it's a positive. And our understanding is that the end of the whole process of a person's life or the end of history will see all the positives. I can definitely tell you many, many things. I mean, for example, this book wouldn't exist. My ability to help people through the book wouldn't exist if not for that. No one would say, I'm happy it happened. But once it happened, yeah, that's my whole point. It's a reality, and then you choose how you deal with it in terms of whether you allow it to destroy you or you try to move forward and elevate yourself through the challenge.
Do you understand those who allow, and I'm talking about religious people or those in the religious community as well, not just non-believers. Do you understand how some people would react in a completely opposite manner than what you just described?
Definitely. I definitely can understand that because It's a fatal decision. It's a very hard situation. And it's remarkable, actually, one of the things I speak about in the book is the Torah attitude is extremely flexible and understanding about trauma, to the point where the Gemara tells us, even if a person, God forbid, blasphemes and lashes out, there's no onus for that. We learn that from Eos. So I can definitely understand that. It's a massive nisayon, and a person has to do their best in the situation. And one thing for sure, you never judge anyone who went to a nisayon like this. I'm certainly not going to do that.
Yeah. Rabbi Asher Resnick is with us live via telephone. The book is Pain is a Reality, Suffering is a Choice, Grappling with Divine Justice. How does one go about choosing? If suffering is a choice, how does one go about making the choice of whether to suffer and how to suffer?
I think the first step is to recognize that there's a choice. We live in a time where there's an attitude that there is no choice. Free will becomes extremely constricted. So the first step is to recognize there is a choice. I'm not a helpless victim. I'm a human being. I can make choices. And the other thing I would say is, if you look at Jewish history, Jews have gone through incredible difficulties, collectively and individually, all throughout history. And we moved forward, and we were able to live our lives. I'm not comparing myself to a Holocaust survivor, but a person who went through such horrific situations, some people made choices to move forward in a positive way, and other people were unable to do that. So it's a crucial, I think in general, one of the things that's very important is the book is not meant only for severe trauma.
Right.
It's meant to be something which is relevant for anybody. Everybody deals with challenges and difficulties.
Yeah.
In fact, the Gemara tells us if you go 40 days without difficulties, you're in big trouble because God wrote you off. So no one has, there's virtually nobody who has no challenges in life.
And you have to recognize
the persons.
And one person's slightly difficult episode is another person's trauma, frankly. I mean, you know, people react differently to things that happen, that go on. So it's funny. I mean, I'm sure you heard my introduction. I read the book. I found it extremely meaningful. And I found it to be a great book for emunah and bitachon, trust and belief in the one above. Am I right that, or is it unfair for me to say that somebody who allows the suffering to get to them, or someone who remains down after a traumatic episode, is lacking in emunah bitachon, or you wouldn't put it that simply?
I would definitely not say that. I would say every nisayon has to be evaluated by the person given their situation, given their background. You know, Reb Dessler very famously speaks about the Kudushel Bechira. This is a massive nisayon, and someone who's not able to do this is something, ultimately, we don't judge people, only God judges people. But I would say for sure, it does not reflect on a person's, does not necessarily on a person's bitachon. It reflects on a person's just the trauma. They're just not able to put their life back together in the way that it was. There's two things. We see in the Aleinu three times a day. Yedata hayom, vashavasa el levadecha. You should know and put it on your heart. There's two separate things. There's my intellectual awareness, and then there's the emotional connection that I make with that awareness. That's a free will decision. A person can have a massive degree of bitachon and a massive degree of emunah, but just they can't make the connection to the lathe, and that's something which God will evaluate. And I think it's a big mistake for someone to then say, oh, it must be that this person is lacking in something.
So when someone's angry at God after, you know, a traumatic experience, it sounds to me like one can be intellectually a Baal Mamin, as you're putting it, or cerebrally, you know, in their head, but their heart just hasn't come around yet. Would that be a way of expressing it?
Yeah, I would say so. And I think sometimes it takes time, that's for sure. that the time is in order to absorb the trauma. I can tell you from my wife and I, it was a major change after the first year. And that says all tell us. After 12 months, there's a certain degree of intensity of the loss, which is a little bit diminished.
Right.
So, and then as time went on, you know, it's interesting that I wrote the book, I put the chapters in the same order as I presented them on my daughter's yard site. With every chapter basically is what I spoke about either right before or on the yard site of my daughter over the past many years. And the chapters are the exact order of how that happened. You'll see by looking at the chapters, the stages that I myself went through. There's a certain point where I was dealing with anger, and then another stage I was dealing with Nakama, and another stage I wanted to understand Olam Haba, and then I was curious about Gilgulim. So there were different stages that I myself went through, and a person has to themselves go through the stages as is appropriate for them.
Yeah, I hear that. The one-year mark, I mean, you know, I've had episodes in my life where the one-year mark, as you said, certainly is significant and does change things in a very interesting manner sometimes. Rabbi Usher Resnick is with us. Pain is a reality. Suffering is a choice. You speak about the benefits of Yisurim. Now, a moment ago, you said that if we are not challenged by God on a daily basis, then I think you said it was the Talmud that says that one should want to be challenged by God, because if not, then what is it, that he's ignoring you or
the Gemara Arachim says if a person goes 40 days without any challenges or difficulties, then it's a terrible sign. It's virtually as if God wrote them off.
But difficulties are different than Yisurim. Yisurim, to me, means I mean, can we use the word punishment or you know, challenging situations that are very painful? You know, we look at Yisurim as a reaction to our behavior, a reaction to to a reality out there. So one, as you just indicated,
that's true. But by the way, there are cases of Yisurim, there's plenty of cases of Yisurim that are disconnected from our mistakes in the past. On Yisrael, for example, no one says that Hashem gave Avram the Akedah because he did something wrong.
Right.
That was an opportunity for him to actualize some potential. So it's a mistake to say that only that every aspect of Yisurim is a response to something wrong that I did.
Right.
Something which is, I mean, not a proper perspective.
Right, understood. But my question is, I understand that, you know, one should want to have these nisyonos, these tests from the one above, for the reasons you just mentioned and what our tradition tells us. But must one have Yisurim as well? Because you have a chapter on the benefits of Yisurim, and I'm wondering if number one, they are necessary. Does one have to have Yisurim the same way one would wish to always have nisyonos from the one above? And what are the benefits of those Yisurim, of those what we normally translate as punishments?
Yeah, right. So first of all, when it comes to Yisurim, there's a whole range. And the Gemara itself actually asked the question, what's the most mild situation which could be called Yisurim? And it says the final example it gives, someone puts his hand in his pocket to take out 3 coins. He actually only took out 2 coins, let's put his hand back in his pocket to get the 3rd coin. That even that minor little bit of inconvenience, that's also called Yisurim. And interestingly, if a person pays attention to those minor events, then perhaps they can get the same growth and the same impact they don't need, perhaps, the more challenging situations. We often ignore the little things, and we only pay attention when we get hit over the head. So we should ideally try to pay attention and grow and learn from even the more minor issues.
And that means that even these...
interesting.
And that means
about the chapter, about the benefits. When I was preparing that particular year, I do the research, I didn't even talk about it, the title. Because I thought that anyone who hears the title, and then this would be a surrender, will be angry at me for my perceived indifference and my perceived insensitivity.
I get
only
that.
Only after I finish it, I talk about it.
I get
but
that.
It's remarkable because that's the Torah attitude. You look at the sources, the Torah says that's the main reason given is for our benefit. And then, of course, we understand. Shem runs the world. He's trying to help us, not trying to hurt us.
He loves us too much to want to hurt us.
Exactly. It's like a parent. And that's the main source that I talk about over and over. The verse in Devarim, chapter 8, verse 5. You should know with your heart that just like a parent gives your serim to his child, so God, your Lord, gives you your serim. And based on that, we see there's no possible way to translate your serim to suffering. No would say you should know that just like a parent causes his child to suffer, God calls you to suffer. Obviously, it means it's painful challenges from God's love for our benefit. That's what the Torah is telling us very clearly.
Rabbi Usher Resnick is with us. The book is called Pain is a Reality, Suffering is a Choice, Grappling with Divine Justice. We're highly recommending it. So you would say that even with these minor episodes that occur, you mentioned the situation with the coins in the pocket, even these minor things or messages from the one above should encourage one to analyze their deeds and their life. I would imagine that when someone goes through a tragic and life-changing experience, as you and your family did, one of the automatic things that one does is start to analyze what they are or are not doing. But you're saying that one of the benefits of these Yisurim is that even when one goes through one of these minor episodes or a small little thing that happened to them, if they paid more attention to it, they should go ahead and analyze, even in that situation, what it is that they are that they're doing and not doing in their life.
Yes, but I would say you have to do it in moderation, because otherwise I'm never getting anything done.
Right.
Every time I miss a bus or I step my toe, and I won't accomplish anything. But occasionally think about this little minor thing. I wonder why that happened. What can I learn from it? How can I grow from it?
Yeah. A lot of chapters in the book, a lot of interesting themes. As you said, they're based on shiurim and lectures, so obviously each one had its own point and its own conclusion. So we can't go through every chapter, but you need to address for me the chapter that you wrote about why painful things happen to good people, because there's a perspective in this world, and I think it's important for this audience to hear this. There's a perspective in this world about things happening, things that happen to good people in general. In fact, it was a really hot topic at one point in recent history in this country. And you have a unique and what I would call much more Jewish and Torah perspective on it. Could you describe how you approach this topic about painful things happening to quote-unquote good people?
Okay, well, first of all, I say that there's a really remarkable fact that people think the whole topic of painful difficulties in this world, Yisurim, is perhaps the biggest reason people don't believe in God and religion.
Right.
And I actually in the book about the fact that that's actually because people are asking the question and they're expecting things shouldn't happen like that, that actually shows people do believe in God and have a connection to religion through that. That's something we get to see in the book more, to see it more spelled out.
Right.
But in terms of actually explaining it, so first of all, I divide into a few parts. The first part is, why is there any pain and difficulty in the world at all? And the answer to that is we made bad choices. In Gan Eden, there was no pain, there was no pain for Yisurim. There was no death and no difficulty. You have to work for a living. So we made bad choices, and we continue making bad choices till today. That's why they're in the world now. Now, why is it that we see that sometimes good people have difficulties and sometimes bad people have benefits? So that I speak about the idea that there's an element of free will which has to be maintained, otherwise our lives have no meaning and no purpose. And that's something, again, you need to read the book to see how that all plays out.
I found it fascinating. We should point out it's a different approach than the, you know, than what people in this country are used to on this topic.
Yeah. Well, one thing I want to say very important, I think one of the most important things about the book is it's not me speaking, it's the Torah speaking. There's over 600 sources that are used, that are drawn upon, classical sources that are the basis for the book. And that means it's not any one particular person that's saying it. It's the Torah. It's classical sources. It's the Maral. It's Rav Dessler. It's the Gemara. It's the Medrash. it's Judaism speaking here. It's not anyone's personal opinion about what is the proper approach here. So, yeah, so I would imagine that it's definitely different than people are used to, because people haven't really thought about these things in a very deep way, I don't think.
Yeah,
general, we need to be different topics.
Yeah, that's a very good point. The book is available. I know it's available on the website, jewishclarity.com. We should mention the website is not only about the book, but has many articles and different things that people will find interesting and enlightening. Again, jewishclarity.com, and the book is available there. Is it available at other locations or sources as well, or is that it for now?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Charles Arm is distributing it, and at this point, it should be in all the major bookstores, all the major Jewish bookstores.
Again, Feldheim distributes it. It's a Mosaic, a press release. JewishClarity.com is the website, and it should be available, as Rabbi Resnick just said, in all of the major Judaica stores, and we're highly recommending it. Give me a word about the website. In addition to, you know, it being an opportunity for people to buy the book, what will people find there?
Well, the common denominator on the website is what I would call Yesodei Amuna, foundational material for basic belief. There's proofs of God, proofs of Torah, some classical issues, and also perspectives on mitzvot and hagim. But it's all coming from a foundational perspective. I'm very fortunate that I had a very close relationship with my Rosh Yeshiva, with Noach Weinberg Zitzal, from Rosh Yeshiva Eish HaTorah. I speak in the book about the fact he's the very first Purim Jew I ever spoke to my entire life. I began my Jewish journey at Eish HaTorah at the age of 22, and he had a tremendous genius for always being able to distill out the foundation of things. He didn't just answer a question for the question. He would focus your attention on a foundation, which is the basis for that question. And I try very much to do that on the website, give people foundational material, with the belief in God, Torah, issues, game, and of course the topics we're talking about here, how to deal with challenges and difficulties in your life.
He was the first Purim Jew you had ever spoken to?
Yes.
And where are you from, if I may ask?
I'm from Los Angeles.
Interesting. Wow, the first Purim Jew you ever spoke to.
I grew up in Los Angeles. I knew I was Jewish. If somebody would ask me, are you proud to be Jewish? I probably would have said yes, but I would have had no way to explain why that is. And then at the age of 22, so the whole story how that happened, I bumped into Rabbi Weinberg, and I spoke to him for about an hour, and then eventually I started to learn Eish HaTorah, and it's funny, before I walked in the door, my thought was anyone who believes in God must be stupid. I couldn't imagine anyone being intelligent and believing in God. And of course, when I was at Eish HaTorah, that was very quickly shown to me that that's a fallacy. Because he was a brilliant person, and all the people I met in Eish HaTorah were very, very intelligent people. But I really began my Jewish journey in Eish HaTorah.
Frankly, that may have been, I mean, not that I can evaluate this, and I'm sure he had a million great accomplishments, as we know, from the history, but the ability that he had to prove the existence of God to somebody in a short and logical manner, I think was just absolutely incredible.
Yeah, it was incredible. I was amazed when I went to this hotel and they told me that we can prove to you there's a God. I said, really? I thought there's no way in the world I could do that.
And look what happened, yeah. Amazing. Pain is a reality. Suffering is a choice. Grappling with divine justice. I cannot recommend this book more than I have already done. Rabbi Usher Resnick is the author. Mosaica Press, Feldheim distributor, jewishclarity.com. It's in all the major bookstores. Anybody out there dealing with any of these issues, you don't have to, Baruch Hashem, if you don't have any serious episodes in your life, be thankful. But even one who doesn't will find this book enlightening just in terms of the faith and belief that it can strengthen for you in the one above. So check it out. Rabbi Resnick, I got to thank you. I got to thank you for writing the book. As you hear, I've gained tremendously from it, and I really hope that our listeners take advantage of this fact, pick up the book, and gain from it as well.
Thank you so much. I hope very much that the book expands people's understanding of what they can choose how much they can choose and how dramatically they can change their life through their choices.
Yeah, I think it certainly will. And I thank you very much. Rabbi Usher Resnick, the book is called Pain is a Reality, Suffering is a Choice. And as you heard him just say, everybody, the book will help one choose. The book will help one evaluate how they approach difficult situations and life in general. Pick it up. It'll be well worth it. More coming up. You're listening to a Wednesday morning edition of JM in the AM.